This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here, and I'm here after 2 weeks with my colleague Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Hello, Rabia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. It's all the same at this point.
Two decades,
yeah. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. I have fled D.C. for the woods, and it was a good life decision.
Man, I wish I could up and do that. I mean, I'm outside of D.C., but I'm like 10 miles from the White House, and it's like this force field. You just kind of feel like kind of trapped in it. But the good on you, you know, just don't fall off the grid because we need you.
I am trying to stay within like cell phone and Wi-Fi connection. Otherwise, I am going as off grid as possible, aside from like the whole main grid thing.
That's pretty cool, though. Are you going to be like doing? You're pretty outdoorsy. Like, nothing about me is built for the outdoors. I know you do like fishing. Do you hunt too?
No, hunting sounds like getting up in the cold and sitting and doing nothing, which sounds like my version of hell. So no hunting here. But I do fish and just walk around and like hike, and that's all I need to be happy again.
That's awesome. Well, enjoy it. I'm sure it's good for your mental health and everything else, and like kind of a cleansing of the swamp.
I have noticed it's not good for my tweeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, like Twitter. I've gone like on a semi-intentional Twitter hiatus because...
You are quieter. Yeah, I noticed that actually.
It's when there's like nice stuff outside to do, you're like, you know what? This Twitter thing can just wait. This whole nonsense I just saw about an hour ago about Barry Weiss... Guess what? Does not affect my life. I can be zen and just ignore it and go look outside again.
Yeah. This morning when I clicked on trending and I'm like, oh, Barry's trending. And this is the first time. And I saw the whole thing. It's like everybody was up in flames and I made a conscious decision. I just don't give a fuck. I'm not touching it.
This does not matter. None of this matters. This is all nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, I understand how in some ways it has some real... life implications for people, but I feel like there's just too much other stuff that I gotta prioritize right now.
I cannot bring enough concern in me to care. And a more serious note, her letter, that which I did not read because I barely got through my trending list on Twitter, which apparently she was alleging like workplace bullying in the New York Times, and that part is not cool. If that is true, that is absolutely not cool whatsoever.
Yeah, okay, so I did read it.
Oh,
I did read it.
Oh, let's see. And... I want to hear what it was about.
Yeah, I don't know her directly. I've had a couple of communications with her. I do know, I have friends who have been on panels with her, who have worked with her. What this comes down to is this. She's at the New York Times. She labels herself a centrist, but for the people who are like highly, like the real lefty progressives, she is way far right of centrist. And so what she basically said in her letter is that over the last few years, the New York Times has become a place that it's like a battleground for like the wokes and the liberals. That's how she kind of sees it. And the wokes are the younger people, and they are bullying the New York Times, and they're bullying through social media. They're bullying through actually being writers and editors on there, into basically censoring certain voices. And she's had issues before too, but the Tom Cotton op-ed, which was completely reprehensible. She didn't defend it, but she said, I mean, she did a Twitter thread back about a month ago when that came out, a month and a half ago, you know, that was not defensive of it, but it was a little bit ambiguous. It was like, you know, if the New York Times is meant to be a platform for, you know, all kinds of voices, right? Like then, or do we need parameters around that? Should we talk a little bit more about the Tom Cotton thing before you completely tear down the New York Times for printing it? Anyhow, she left, not saying she felt bullied only because, she's more to the right of like the woke party. And she feels every time she tweets, every time she writes something, she gets attacked. But here's the thing. She was under no danger of losing her job. And part of the issue that a lot of people had was that the New York Times kind of didn't, I mean, like she was pretty privileged there, and she got away with a lot of kind of like the tweets that she tweeted and the things she wrote. And I personally am like, I don't agree with a lot of what she has to say, but I find some of it outright reprehensible. But I'm also not, I don't feel like canceling her is the right thing. But she canceled herself, to be honest. And then Andrew Sullivan resigned today from The New Yorker.
Yeah, well, he just sucks. Now,
right.
And this all feels so pre-COVID. Like, the fact we're talking about this feels like we're not living in this current moment. And I have no, I honestly have no feelings about Barry Weiss. Like, the things she's written that I've read weren't really political. They were just dumb, and that's why I saw them. And I don't have any, like, feelings strongly one way or another. It's just...
Yeah, I think I kind of feel like that, too. I think she's problematic on certain things. You know, I mean, certainly on Israel-Palestine, she's very pro-Israel, which is fine. But in a way that has often been disparaging to Palestinians and dismissive of the occupation, things like that. And, of course, that's problematic. But anyhow, this was, again, she canceled herself. She quit. I mean, she quit. And Andrew Sullivan quit, and I just saw on Twitter Yesher, who is Yesher Ali, he's a well-regarded journalist, investigative journalist. He tweeted that he heard recently that they actually are working on a project together. So I'm sure they'll be fine. They will survive. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there when it comes to Trump or the 45th. But yeah, that was all day on Twitter, and you were absolutely right to check the fuck out of it.
That's cesspool. So, into real life and the real things that are happening in the world and are horrible to deal with, COVID is still going on. And in fact, it is getting worse.
So we have topped 136,000 deaths in this country. We have about 3.4 million positive tests and averaging 724 deaths a day. As of this morning, those numbers probably already changed. The death trend actually seems to be a little bit better. Like, I think we're like at 4 or 5%.
We can't be 4 or 5. That's bad. That's the horror side of it. Like, 4 to 5 is like the horror zone for this. Like, 2% is kind of what the countries are doing okay, seem to maintain.
Well, the thing is that, you know, we right now, what you're seeing is these huge explosions in certain places. For example, Florida is now getting like nearly 11,000 new cases a day. Texas, Arizona, South Carolina have seen all those states have seen their death toll from COVID rise by more than 100% in the last 4 weeks. And then four other states, Mississippi, Tennessee, California, Louisiana, have seen a 20% jump in also the last month. Right now, Texas and Arizona are requesting mobile morgues because they cannot handle all the deceased bodies. And the epicenter apparently is Miami for the entire nation right now. So, and there's a lag, obviously. It takes time before people die. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to see probably the death rate spike as well. Having said all that, President Trump, oh boy. So I think yesterday or 2 days ago, Trump retweeted Chuck Woolery, that ornery old, you know, game show host. And the tweet that Chuck tweeted was, "The most outrageous lies are the ones about COVID-19. Everyone is lying. The CDC, media, Democrats, our doctors, not at all, but most that we are told to trust. I think it's all about the election and keeping the economy from coming back, which is about the election. I'm sick of it." Trump retweeted this.
Yeah. Because Trump's ideal world is one where the amount of death is just not registered and no one cares.
Today, did you watch any of the press conference today?
I did. I have not seen it. I feel like I've been checked out for a while, and that apparently was the moment I decided to check back in, and I watched it, and...
Shockingly, not much difference, right? It's the same old shit.
It is the same old shit, but, like, history is not going to look kindly on any of us.
It's like, what do you do? We don't know. I think, I mean...
What do you do? Like, what do you do when someone is that clearly incompetent, that clearly insane, that clearly authoritarian, and... is just up there saying those things and being that way. And it's reality. Like, this is happening. This is real life.
Trump has not missed an opportunity in the last few weeks to repeat over and over, like he did today, like he did just like yesterday on somewhere else, over and over, that we have more cases because we're testing a lot. Like, we're testing. If we tested half as many people, we'd have half as many cases. I'm like, what in the fuck? Like, how does he not understand, like, how any of this works?
He has been purely consistent on this point. He has not wavered a moment. He has been a driven person who has just eye on the prize this whole time. Because it goes back to the beginning. He's like, oh, I don't want that cruise ship to land on our shores because that will increase my numbers.
Right. That is true. I forgot about that cruise ship. Shit, that's where it all started, didn't it?
He's never, oh, he hasn't changed. We keep thinking that, like, okay, surely he acknowledges reality now. And Trump just keeps being the same Trump he always was. Has not wavered a moment. And we're all sitting here, like, just presuming that, of course, during this past 6 month transformative experience, he has experienced the pandemic too. He surely has changed his opinion in some ways, like all of us have. No, he is still exactly where he was when he's like, don't let the cruise ship land here. That'll increase my numbers.
I mean, today at the press conference, he said, the numbers thing, that's political. Like, you know, people, like, it's political. It's not about the, you know, it's not that it's a real threat to Americans, but the media and the Democrats keep talking about the spike in numbers because they just want, it's about the election, which is just horrifying. Now,
and keep in mind, a friend of Trump's, actually, to the extent Trump has friends, one of them died from this thing.
Right.
So it's not even that he's not been impacted in some way. Like, he has been, and he's like, oh, this doesn't mean anything.
Don Jr.'s girlfriend just tested positive, I think, about a week ago or so. Although, I just saw a tweet from them that him, Don Jr. and Kim were together, like, hanging out over the weekend with a picture together, but I don't know, maybe she's free of it now. Now, Trump did, for the first time ever, I think, appear publicly in a mask just a few days ago. I don't know if you saw the kerfuffle over that.
I saw pictures. I'm like, it's fine. He's wearing a mask. It's fine. Why are we even talking? Like, we should talk about it. We need to promote this and be like, y'all, all you guys who love Trump, everyone who supports Trump, please see this picture. Please, for the love of God, every Trump-based person in the universe needs to see this picture right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, if that's what absolutely, we want them to do that. Well, I mean, the reports are, however, that he was begged, and he was going to a VA hospital. I mean, he was begged, apparently, by aides to put it on, so he put it on. And when I say kerfuffle, I mean, the response from, like, some right-wing influencers was insane because they were like, oh my God, look out now, Joe Biden. Oh my God, check him out. Some woman actually, too, I don't know who she is, but she's just, you know, basically, she's like, oh my God, he looks like hot in this mask. I was like, this is
dear.
I'm so embarrassed.
That's fine. We need every Trump supporter to go on Twitter right now and be like, Trump looks super manly and super hot in a mask.
I would be totally fine with him printing.
I'll retweet that shit. I don't even care now.
He should print MAGA masks. Make please, that money if he's got to do it on it. I don't care.
Print MAGA masks, charge an extreme amount for them, put them on your website.
Susan, we should print them. Fuck that.
We should.
I'm setting that up tonight.
Let's make bank and save the world, Rabia.
Oh my God. I'm setting this up tonight. I'm setting up my Teespring store tonight.
So I was driving, like, through the countryside, and there's all these, like, massive Trump signs up everywhere, and quite a few of them say, keep America great. And it is very surreal to be in a pandemic where you can't go into a store without wearing a mask, and even then with, like, intense, like, anxiety over it. And to have all these signs up saying, like, yeah, let's keep America like this right now forever. This is what we want.
I mean, these might be the people with the yard signs who are like, I'm not wearing a mask. First of all, I'm out in the country and I'm far away from people. But when I go to a store, I'm just not doing it. I've got a gun on me. What are you going to do? I mean, like, we see this every single day where people are like, I'm not going to wear a mask. What are you going
to
do?
Oh, man, it is hit and miss. So I've had to go into a Walmart twice now in the past 3 weeks.
No.
For supplies. Yeah, that's more times I've gone to a Walmart than, like, the past decade. And they're different states. And, like, it was remarkable to see, like West Virginia, where you were, is actually pretty well masked.
Good. Relatively. Good on you, West Virginia.
But, of course, you can't help but notice that, like, the sweet spot for not masking is 50-year-old white men. Like, that is the epitome of not wearing a mask. And then there's some women, but, like, and a couple of young kids. But, like, the real concentration is, like, that not the old people. The people who are older, they're wearing masks generally. Most of the younger ones are, until they get too young, they're not. But, like, the 50-year-old white man, he ain't wearing masks. I'm sorry. It's
Given that demographic, I feel like we got to create these MAGA masks with, like, truck nuts hanging off of them. Or something. To up the ante here.
Oh, my God. QAnon masks.
Look, just if you got to go to Walmart, do it like the minute they open or like the last 10 minutes they're about to close. That's when it's the emptiest. That's just my advice to you. But
they were actually pretty empty. So it was not even like I walked in like ready for like battle. But in terms of like actual exposure, it didn't feel that risky. It's just the fact of being in a Walmart. You're like, I'm getting contagions from like sitting here. Which is fine. Well, like I've been to Walmart's and not like, I mean, it's a great place to go if you need a lot of stuff. But right now, it just feels like
everything. If you need everything.
Yeah, if you need everything, if you're, like, trying to resupply for long periods, it's perfect. And then And then now it's like, wow, this feels like the place I don't want to go. But actually, it was fine. I think Walmart is probably, if you have to go somewhere and shop in person, I'm kind of pro mm-hmm. Walmart right now, at least the ones I've been mm-hmm. to.
Yeah, where I live, the Walmarts are generally like too packed. They're too packed in normal times. So I go for, when I need to get like a bunch of different things that are have no relation to one another at the same time, I go to Target because it's slightly less people. But I get it. Ammo and baby food, you can get it all at one place. Great. This culture war over the masking, all of this shit, we have now managed to export it. And there have been some reports about some rising temperatures in Japan. Nearly 100 coronavirus cases have been confirmed among U.S. military stationed in Okinawa. And apparently this spike happened after a big recent 4th of July party event that was held both. Well, there were some festivities held like on and off the base, but, you know, people gathered. And since then, there's been this spike and Japanese officials are pissed off because, well, they're like, you're going to just basically, we're just going to shut you down and quarantine you off. You can't come out here. But it's almost like, you know, this culture of it, it's like wherever Americans go. And that's why I think Canada is never, ever going to open its border to us again. I'm fairly convinced. Mexico, I read that like last week, like some, there's some border that, one particular border that Mexico is thinking of closing. I don't know which one. But I don't know if Mexico is doing any better than us. Now, in the midst of all this, schools are going to reopen very, very soon. I mean, I've already some started are. Getting the emails and stuff, and we're starting to prepare.
Yours are in Maryland?
Yeah, but when I say reopen, I mean the school year is beginning. And right now it looks like it's going to be a combination online, offline, but that at least the school my daughter's going to go to is providing the option of going fully online if that's what we prefer. And that's likely what we're going to be doing. But yeah, as all this is happening, Trump has repeatedly over and over, and Betsy DeVos also have been saying that schools must reopen. We will withhold funding, federal funding from schools if they don't reopen. And they are dead set on this.
So I saw that like Trump was apparently responding to polling that was like, parents are extremely in favor of kids returning to school. So he's like, yes, that's my platform. Kids returning to school. As if that was the only factor in this equation. Like,
that's his, what, his a campaign platform now? Is what you're,
that's what his poll, well, the polling was like, parents are extremely in favor of kids returning to school. So Trump's like, yeah, I'm going to make returning to school my thing. As if like that was the issue. Like, not like, do parents want kids to return to school? Oh, yeah. Do parents want kids to return to school in the middle of a pandemic that can kill their kids or no. them teachers?
Hell no.
No.
So, like, so he read like the first, the top line, basically, yeah, and then he
like,
was done.
Would you like $100,000? Would you like it if you had to spend like 20 years in a max security prison?
But here's the thing, Susan. He wouldn't care. He has been asked by journalists, the parents... He wouldn't matter if parents said, we don't want this. If teachers said, we will not go. If there were strikes, all he would say, oh, well, they still need to open.
Because he can't also control it. He has very little effect. It's purely campaigning. He can't actually impact this part of policy. Not meaningfully.
So the funding part of it, though, there is federal funding that's provided to schools. I mean, like for different kinds of things. And that part could be, yes, no?
Unless not like this. Not to the extent he wants to be able to do it. There's too many schools out there. But, I mean, he has some levers, but not to the extent where he can actually do this. He can't say schools will open.
Yesterday, Mike Pence said, I don't know where he was speaking, but he said that that administrators, officials who are deciding whether or not to open schools basically should not use CDC guidance to make that decision. Like, make that decision on your own. What the fuck?
Whoa, Rabia. We got some breaking news coming in.
Oh, no, what? Is it about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, please?
It is not. Calm down. It is not.
She's in the hospital. I'm freaking out. Okay, what is it? Tell me.
It's too perfect. Okay, I can do this. Breaking from the AP. Former.
Oh, no. Is it Seb Gorka? Which one is it?
All right, I can do it. Former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions lost Republican nomination.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
for what had once been his Senate seat in Alabama to former college football coach Tommy Tuberville.
Oh my God. Tuberville, who has, by the way, zero experience. He's never run for office before. He's also like, I think I've heard he's like a mediocre coach. But
I've never even heard of him. I've heard of every Alabama coach from like just being around that. If they were any good. I don't remember this dude.
No, but Trump has been tweeting in support of him. Tuberville is all about, oh my God. And it's so embarrassing because Sessions just like, a few weeks ago was like trying to appease Trump on Twitter again.
Oh, he's the Auburn coach. Or was that dude. Oh my God. This is
good.
This is, you know, the world's still as fucked up as it was, but you know, a little poetic justice isn't a terrible thing.
Well, here's the thing, though.
This is great.
Do you think this race? I mean, do you think everybody? I mean, what I'm reading is that a Republican's going to win this race no matter what.
No. Look, there is no matter what for anything right now. There is no absolutes on any level. I mean, California is going to be Democratic overall, and Wyoming will be Republican. Texas. Everything short of that, no.
In Texas, Biden and Trump are very, very close right now. So yeah, Texas, you never know.
Texas is a light tinge of purple.
That's awesome. That is some good news.
So
that's some good
news. I'm not counting anyone out or in Alabama right now.
Okay. All right, Alabama.
I'm calling Jeff Sessions out. What an arc! What? Like, just go back to this whole the first person to endorse Trump, mm-hmm. Senator from Alabama.
That's what you get. I mean, why? Because he showed, like, an ounce of integrity.
I mean, Sessions' protege, Miller, is still surviving. Although Sessions' Miller's policies are less successful, because one of the things he did, Trump did, or, well, Miller through Trump did, was this whole, to open the schools again, was this whole, if you are now taking distance learning classes, or now, like, you know, teleschooling, you can't have a visa if you're an international student.
For foreign students, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it was probably little column A, little column B, whether it was like to be forced schools to open or to hurt immigrants. But they did this thing, and then the outrage was, and not just outrage, but like the panic was so vast from so many levels. They're like, oh, nope, didn't mean that. Oops, sorry. Nope, back in the way.
Look, let me tell you this. The schools lined up. MIT and Harvard together filed a lawsuit. The hearing was going to be today, and I think right before the hearing, the government folded and said, "Never mind, we're rolling back this policy." It was just a policy, guy. It wasn't a law or anything, a rule actually that had been formally, you know, made into law or whatever. Anyhow, but this is about money.
It's not just about like immigrants or like students, American dream. It's about money.
It's about money. The foreign student tuition rate is like five times what like in-state tuition or even out-of-state. They bring in so much money. And the requirements to get a student visa to come here, you have to show a ton of money in the bank. You're not allowed to work here. I mean, there's so many requirements. It's all about money. So that's why these universities could not afford, they can't operate without that tuition. So they were going to fight them tooth and nail. And so, yeah, they backed down on that. Today, he talked about DACA for a long time in his press briefing. He said,
one, we're not calling it a press briefing because there was no actual, there was like four questions taken. And it was like an hour long campaign rally in the Rose Garden.
He talked a lot about Biden. He went through like Biden's, agenda items, platforms and stuff.
Well, he called it that, but like it was definitely like their own like written. He's like, here's exactly what they said. And he's like, we're in favor of giving all illegal immigrants like complete housing payments and full Medicare. Like, no, that's not what this said. That's not what anyone's ever said. Right. But yes, so after that speech, whatever you're going to call it, after that debacle, all like the blue check marks on Twitter were like, there is no chance that the Senate is passing an immigration bill this year. There's no chance that's going to happen. Right. Of course it's not. That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about an executive order. Because he's like been talking about, this ruling from the Supreme Court, it shows I have more power because it indirectly upheld Obama's executive order on DACA, which means I now have immigration power through EOs. So he's not talking about like an actual act. Of course, no act is happening. And even he knows that. He's going to do some like expansive, crazy immigration executive order that will be completely unconstitutional and not viable.
and litigated and struck down. But on DACA specifically, what was interesting about what he said today, so the Supreme Court ruled that basically USCIS has to continue to accept DACA applications and they cannot rescind DACA benefits and the status and stuff. But they haven't done that yet. Trump basically has been like, oh yeah, we're still kind of, you know, the response from CIS has been like, we're still kind of considering how to implement the court's order, which is nothing other than just accept the application. But today, Trump actually said, he's like, oh, you know, even conservatives want something done on DACA, and we're going to do something great on DACA. It seems like he's rolling. And I wonder, and I was thinking, I was listening to that as I was working out, and I was like, is he now thinking, I need the Latino votes? I need these votes. Like, I got to, like, court this community again? Because didn't he, oh yeah, Goya just got canceled, by the way, Goya Foods, right? A week ago?
I don't even know what that is.
All right. Oh my God, Susan. Okay. Goya I've Foods is a out. Huge, it's a very big company. They make a lot
I know,
of
I know
products.
What Goya, that, I know what the thing is. I just don't know how that's possibly relevant right now.
Oh, this is how it's possibly relevant. A week ago, Trump had some event in the White House that was something about Hispanic Americans empowering. I don't know. It was one of those stupid events where he's like signing something to say, I love Hispanic Americans. And so the CEO of Goya was there. He had some prominent, you know, Latinos there. And the CEO of Goya gets up and he's just like, oh, Trump is fantastic and we support him. And he's done more for the Latino community than any other president, all this bullshit. So Goya immediately got canceled. But he does seem to be courting the Latino vote much more heavily in the last couple of weeks. Because I think the numbers, he's seeing the numbers. They're not looking good for him.
So I like your version of this. My cynical take on this when he started talking about DACA is to give him way too much credit and to assign some kind of strategy there. It's clearly not present. But I was like, wait, is he going to have an executive order on immigration that's completely unconstitutional and then include DACA in it so that when the Supreme Court strikes it down, DACA gets struck down too?
I mean, but they could parse that out.
I mean, but what if he rewrote DACA to be something that was not constitutional? Like, absolutely. He could, like, he can change executive order through executive order. If he changed DACA to still be something like DACA, but in a way that's totally constitutional, what are you going to parse
out? Like, what? The thing is, like, the thing about immigration is that what I'm trying to, there's so much discretion in immigration that I can't imagine what would make any immigration policy unconstitutional. Other than like what he has done, which is the procedural stuff. Like, he can make his own immigration policy. He cannot roll back what already exists. You know, you can't retroactively punish.
Yeah, I'm giving him way too much credit.
Yeah. I don't know if his mind is that twisty, but Stephen Miller's is, so you never know. We'll see how this goes. He said it's going to happen soon. It's going to be beautiful and powerful. So let's see. Some more COVID-related news that just actually was reported today is that this is kind of alarming, but that the Trump administration has ordered hospitals to stop reporting their numbers to the CDC.
Oh, God, I just saw that before recording. It was like, what? Wait, what?
Yep. And then beginning tomorrow, to send all coronavirus patient information to a central database in D.C. that will be overseen by the Department of Health and Human Services for one of their websites. I mean, so what, you know, now what they're saying is that, and actually Dr. Birx had something to do with this. She apparently, in one of the reports I read, and I'm really just kind of startled with her, but she said something of that CDC was not managing the numbers correctly. So hospitals should, so then she put together this task force and this is what they decided.
Okay. It's true. It is true. CDC was not managing numbers correctly. They were not reporting them correctly. They were outnumbered and wrong, and they did not have a system of reporting them right, which is definitely an excuse for them to now bypass the CDC, which is still more independent for various reasons, and then give control of the numbers to total lackeys of Trump.
I mean, if this was a sincere effort in getting this right, then I would think that the best bet is for hospitals to report to both agencies. You know what I mean? Cover your butt.
Yeah,
like, there's no reason not to.
Let's do that. That sounds fine.
This is problematic. Now, I'm going to jump over. Actually, let's talk about Fauci and then we'll move on, because this is kind of related to another story that I just read yesterday and just freaked me out. But Fauci, This is kind of insane. Now, Dr. Fauci has said that he has not briefed the president in 2 months. We have not seen a lot of him on the media. And over this past weekend, the White House itself released a statement to the Washington Post saying, quote, several White House officials are concerned about the number of times Dr. Fauci has been wrong on things, and then had a list of his comments since the outbreak. So there, it was like, I mean, and then
it's an oppo dump on their own personnel. What the fuck?
Yeah, did you miss that?
I did see that. And then also didn't care because Fauci has been heading towards here since the beginning. I don't really have, I mean, I don't dislike him. I don't have, like, he's not, Birx is, I'm not even going to try and analyze her, but Birx is clearly all in on the political messaging, all in on being the lackey. Fauci is not. There's no sign of him being that kind of willing political operative. And yet, I just don't have much concern whether he stays or goes, because it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters at all, because everyone's like, oh, Fauci has to play this game to stay there. Well, why? Like, what's he staying there for? I mean, he's playing this game to do what exactly?
Mm-hmm.
So if Fauci had just stood by the fucking science and his principles from the beginning, maybe he could have mattered. Maybe it made a difference. Maybe it would have done something to help the United States. Instead, he sacrificed his entire credibility for what?
For this.
For this. To now be rushed out by Oppo from the White House.
I mean, look, the value of Fauci being on the same dais as Trump or Pence or whatever when they did these briefings was that, okay, he was not somebody who's going to out and out lie.
But he did cover for them. He could get in again with, like, word things in a way that made the message from the White House seem, like, plausible, believable. He lended his credibility to support their nonsense.
But when he testified, what, a few weeks ago, a month or whatever it was, he was pretty straight about, I don't think on that he was any, I don't think he politically appeased Trump during that. And I think that's maybe when it all kind of started.
He's too honest to make Trump happy with, like, he'll never survive in this. He'll never make it through the White House. Like, he is not the kind of person who can survive. He's going to survive it anyways. World.
I mean, Trump is going to come and go, and Fauci will still be around, like he's been around for eight administrations.
No. His career will be severely harmed by this. He'll not have credibility again. This is the end of it. The thing is, like,
you really think so? In the science community? I don't think so.
Oh, God, yeah. The science community is different. But his role is not purely science. His role is above that. His role is interfacing with the political class. So it's not just that. He's not going to lose credibility with scientists, but that's not his job. The thing is, like, Fauci had
credibility. But he could make it his job. He was going to burn, reinvent himself.
But he,
or retire.
He could have done something with credibility. He has a career built up for this moment. He has credibility built up for this moment. He could have used it. He could have spent it in a way that would have mattered, potentially. Maybe it wouldn't matter either. Instead, he just, like, sacrificed it to support the Trump agenda.
But see, I actually think that he did his best to say, I'm gonna stick around to try to do the right thing and bend as much as I can to accommodate this insane man.
Yeah, that's what he tried to do.
Yeah. And then when he realized it wasn't going to happen is when he just was like, forget it. It's not worth it. It was
too late.
And Tillerson, look, so many people have learned this lesson. I mean, look at what Jeff Sessions today have learned, that it's never worth it with this man.
Look, if in late March, Fauci had been like, we're doing this all horribly. The United States is heading towards disaster and so many lives lost need to be lost. This president has no plan or strategy. He's only concerned with himself and Fox News. If he'd done some kind of statements like, here's how much, like, we're in trouble, we're in danger, everything's a disaster, we're not prepared, there's no testing, this president is trying to undermine our ability to respond to it, that would have been a fucking news cycle to remember. That would have been something. Instead, he just gave mealy-mouthed non-answers and, like, survived day-to-day and stood up there.
You think it's too late now if he were to just come out? And
it's way too late. No one would care. Way too late. He missed the moment he had. He tried to survive and sacrifice the moment that he did have.
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about some decision-making Trump has done in the last week. Number one, he's a fake PhD, Dr. Seb Gorka is back in the administration. He's just been appointed on the National Security Education Board. I did not know that was a thing. I looked it up. It's a real thing. And so that man is not, and this man is a straight-up Nazi. I mean, like, a straight-up Nazi, so... and also in the past week, Trump has, against even apparently the advice of William Barr, pardoned Roger Stone.
Oh, yeah. The whole, like, decline of America thing. Let's get to that. I mean, it was going to happen. It was kind of inevitable by the time it happened. So he maybe didn't get the outrage and, like, panic and screams of horror deserved. But it is pretty horrifying. It is a nightmare scenario where the president is using the pardon power to pardon his friends and co-conspirators who worked with him to help him win the election. Like, basically, it's an announcement that, like, if the president asks you to do a crime to help him, don't worry, he'll get your back.
Right. And Roger Stone knew it all along. He knew it from... That's why he was just completely thumbing his nose at the court. He knew it from...
I'll argue he half knew it. I think Roger Stone mostly knew it, but he also knows that Trump is a snake who will stab you in the back and not give a damn. So I don't think he felt totally confident, except whatever, like, blackmail he had on Trump. That's probably the only reason he felt semi-comfortable. But Roger Stone knows as well as anyone that Trump is happy to abandon his friends and to leave them for the wolves. So,
well, look, the screams of horror, I think, honestly, might have been greater for Stone if... I mean, for me, I'm still really, honestly, stuck on the story from 2 whole weeks ago about the Russian bounties on American soldiers, which I feel like has almost completely faded from the headlines. I mean, like, I've seen nothing about it for days. But in my head, that my internal screaming is still about that, because I cannot believe that a president can survive that. That's just flipping treason. I mean, like, so I don't know if there's been any more reporting on it, anything else going on with it. Russia said we didn't do it, and that's the end of it. But how can that be the end of it? How?
Because we support Trump, then either you're in denial at will about things like that, or else you just don't really care.
He needs to go to prison for that shit. All right. Today, yesterday, presidential advisor, that's her official title, Ivanka Trump, unveiled a new White House initiative.
Because, I did see this one too. I saw this one too.
This is almost really as good as Be Best.
It's better than Be Best.
What is this shit called again?
Wait, what was it?
Try something new. That's what it's called, Susan. I mean, that's the kind of advice.
Hey, Sessions, find something new.
Exactly. It's shocking. Okay, look, right now, the economy, we've lost 15 million jobs since February. There has been more hiring the last couple months, obviously, because people are opening back up, but then shutting back down. But we're at a point right now where 1 million people file for first-time unemployment benefits every single week. Now, in the midst of that, find something new is the campaign slogan for this new initiative, which I don't even know what... I think it's like a website. Basically, Ivanka is saying what we want is for mid-career workers and the millions who are now unemployed to try something new. And for some reason, this... Well, not for some reason, because they know their base. They're like, you know, forget... Like, everybody should go get vocational training. They think everybody should become a mechanic or an HVAC worker or something. Like, that's the push. Oh, you lost your, like, you know, high-level IT job or whatever it is, you know, go get a vocational degree for 2 years. Because that's happening right now. Like,
all right. People have 2 years to do. Let's see this thing. I saw the Twitter stuff. I'm going to the site. Let's find out what find something new. Oh, there's no site. There's no. What is this? What is this thing?
Okay. Now I have to look it up while there's you're looking
no, it up. I figured it was like some kind of. What? Oh, findsomethingnew.org. Here we go. It's like the second page of Google results. We got it. Let's see the shit.
Okay.
Oh my god. It's just so... It makes Be Best look good. Oh my god. Oh my god. This font. This like WordPress setup.
Is that what that is? Oh my god. Look at that.
Oh my god.
Not sure where to go. Let's find a path for you. Susan, I'm giving up podcasting. All right. I'm going to answer this quiz. Let's go be repairman. This is four questions to find your path. Sun farm. I want to do something new and different. Okay, next question. If you were to start on a path, how much time do you have to devote? I will say 6 months or less. Let's see what they're going to tell me to do. I am not eligible for veterans things. Do you have a high school diploma? Yes, I do. Based on your answers, these career paths may be a good fit for you. Intensive programs.
What did you get? What do you be now? What are you assigned to?
It's saying I could enroll in the Apple Academy. It's what? Girls Who Code. It's a 7-week program. Oh, it's offering me. Oh, it's like offering different like programs that you can enter. broadcast and sound engineering. I mean, I don't understand. It's saying here, like...
it's calling you out. For the podcasting sound, it's like, okay, you need to get some better podcast sound here.
Oh, gosh. You take the quiz.
I just did. I've got... I said I could do, like, more than a year, and it says duration, mm-hmm. 6 years or less. Wait, I'm not signing up for a 6 year. Oh, dear.
You know, Susan, I swear to God, I'm going to take this test like 10 times, and I bet you I'm going to say the same answer. Because it's all, it just gives you a bunch of different lists of, like, organizations that, like, oh, look, the Home Depot Trades Training. I mean, like, all these different, basically, you know, programs that you can enroll in to learn a new skill.
So that's what I got was a website. Early Colleges. Bard Early Colleges partner with public school districts to offer high school students tuition-free courses so they can graduate with an associate's degree. That's what I should do. That's how I find something new right now. Man, this WordPress junkie site. Look at this stuff. You know, I honestly believe Ivanka did do this herself.
She made Jared put this together, like, at their house. All right, so that is in response to that. But I do want to talk a little bit about this other story that I didn't see get a lot of play, but I'm kind of shocked by it, but also I'm not. And that is the PPP stuff. I've seen a lot of PPP. I don't know if you've been following this. Now, my husband every like 2 days sends me a story about somebody else who's been arrested for PPP fraud because there have been multiple people arrested who, for example, provided fraudulent documents or lied about the number of workers they had and or set up fake entities to get these loans. However, there is also some weird bullshit going on the other end because Trump, remember, is using these numbers over and over again. He's saying over and over again that the PPP loans that I obviously, like, it's support that they are supporting 50 million jobs. The PPP loans that I have given out to Americans are supporting 50 million jobs. So the way this works is, so the SBA is supposed to keep track of how many jobs are actually retained by the companies that get the loans, okay? So 4.9 million loans were released by, like, data on 4.9 million loans was released by the SBA last week. And so Washington Post is like, oh, let's take a closer look at this data. Now, from almost a million borrowers, the data shows that zero jobs were supported or there's no information at all. Then what they started doing was looking closer at like some certain companies, like, for example, very specifically, a company called Fire Protection Systems, where the SBC says that they retained 500 jobs using the funds, except the company says it only has 20 employees. A church called Trinity Episcopal Church outside of Houston, the SBA is reporting that they retained 500 jobs. The church says it has 12 staffers. 12. Another one called International Dunnage has 7 employees. However, the SBA, again, on the website says that they've saved 500 jobs. Like, they are fudging the numbers to make this president look good. They also, entire sectors. So this is hilarious. In the field of landscape architecture, the SBA data says that 114,000 jobs have been retained. But that's actually 3 times the number of people that worked in the field last year. So they're just making up numbers.
I like how you're still shocked by that. You're like, the Trump administration is just making up numbers? Which is good. Which is great. We should be shocked by that. We should be shocked. But I admire your ability to still be shocked by it.
No, I honestly was pretty shocked by this. Like, this really made my head, I mean, it's made him explode because they're completely, like, how can he get this agency to do that? You know what I mean? Like, how, this is not like, they're, like, he's wanted to put a lot of political pressure on the CDC. It's been hard for him because he hasn't really managed to get everything that he's wanted.
Because scientists are stubborn and hard to herd.
I don't, who at the SBA is putting in these goddamn numbers? I mean, this is shocking. I feel like this, the Congress needs to open. That just means all this money was given out. All this money was given. Absolutely 50 million jobs are not being supported by this money. So much money has been given out with complete, like, you know, if you're talking about, for example, let's say like this church, right? The church has 12 employees. If the SBA is saying on their site, oh yeah, they're supporting 500 employees. Imagine how big that loan must have been that they gave to this church with 12 employees.
Oh, God. That's true.
No. There's also been a lot of reports in the last couple of weeks because I think the Treasury Department actually released some of the data about some of the folks who have gotten this. The church, 3 branches of the Church of Scientology got millions. Kanye West's $3 billion company, shoe company, got up to $5 million. This place called Soho House, I never even heard of it, okay? It's a membership club received up to, like, it says as much as $22 million through 6 separate PPP loans. This man named, the Republican governor of West Virginia, Governor Justice, received his companies received up to $24 million from the PPP loans. I mean,
on the one hand, okay, on the one hand, it is bad. It is not great, not ideal. On the other hand, there was a pandemic that was destroying the country and the economy. And one solution to maintain the economy while we figure out how to fix this whole pandemic thing is to just throw money out. And that's kind of the job of government. And that was one of the, like, there was no way to do a targeted bill, no way to do a targeted, like, ideally planned PPP. Like, it was helicopter money. Like, money printer go burr.
It was, but it somehow managed to miss a lot of smaller businesses. Also, businesses owned by people of color. I mean, some of the analysis on that has been, like, small businesses owned by people of color were much more likely to be turned down based on, for example, the excuse they, or the justification for turning it down would be, like, insufficient documentation. But there right now, the SBA problems. Is showing nearly a million businesses that got funding with showed nothing. I have, like, no information attached to the business.
But for me, the solution was just to throw out more money, loosely, not to, like, be less discerning. And instead, we were discerning to some and not others, which is bad. But, like, the fact that people who didn't need the money got the money, I am less concerned about than all the people who did not get the money and needed it.
I guess. I just think that if the reason for this money was not just to pump money into some CEO's pocket or whatever, or shareholder's pocket, but to make sure you retain employees. And that's what the problem is, that data is not there, showing that the money's been being used for payroll. In fact, as we talked about earlier, unemployment's going higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, the throwing money out part I don't object to. It is the aftercare, so to speak, that is severely lacking, and the fact that the one thing that Democrats should have held tight to and should have made just unambiguously, like, a core of any kind of bill was actual oversight, with enforceable oversight. And instead they're like, we're gonna, and they tried a little bit. They had a token. They're like, you know what? This thing where Trump doesn't have to report where the money goes to, we don't like that. And guess what? Trump's not reporting where the money goes to.
Now, Biden has said, though, that he, if elected, is going to basically have any loan over $2 million taken a close look at. I don't know. So maybe they'll figure that out. But he's going to have to open a whole agency just to do that.
Hey, make white-collar crime great again. I'm down with that.
All right. We have a couple of Supreme Court decisions, I think, and then we're going to wrap it up. One that was just came down yesterday, I think Monday. For 17 years, there have been no federal executions. Now, there was a district court injunction halting pending federal executions. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to vacate that injunction. And so literally within a matter of hours, the first federal execution took place of Daniel Lee. And according to his lawyer, because they were waiting for the Supreme Court's ruling, and they didn't even wait for, like, a signed opinion. They had him strapped into a gurney, like, at 4 a.m. And they had him strapped there for 4 hours waiting for, and at 8 a.m. they executed him.
It was an it was a murder, because the death warrant was for the 13th of July.
Right.
They did not have any legal authority to kill him, and they did.
He also said he was innocent that was his last few words. I don't know enough about the case.
It doesn't matter. He's guilty. It does not matter. There's no scenario in which the United States can execute someone, because our system is so fucked up and so broken.
Getting it wrong. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what you feel about the death penalty in terms of, like, abstract morality, because that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a real system and a real method of killing people that is so broken and so unconstitutional and so immoral that it cannot be permitted in any just society. But guess what? We're killing people again for no goddamn reason, just because Trump wants to show law and order.
They didn't wait for a hot second. So I don't know how many other executions are scheduled, but they're just gonna roll with it.
Well, guess what? They now have the precedent of killing people who they don't have legal authority to kill.
Right. There was also a decision pertaining to Trump taxes, but I'll be honest, I don't remember what the decision was.
Well,
it was
guess what? I wrote a amicus brief for this one, so I know it. It was in the Mazars and the Vance case for the Trump subpoenas for his tax returns and other financial documents. And on one hand, you could say, as many news articles did, that democracy won because the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that no, Trump's bullshit, crazy, insane arguments aren't true, and that none of that is going to hold up, and that yes, the president is not above the law and he has to give up documents to grand juries and to Congress for their subpoenas. So yeah, that's good. I mean, this is definitely better than the alternative. I'm glad that Supreme Court ruled this way, especially 7-2. On the other hand, it's hard not to feel cynical. It's hard not to feel like this is just a big old show they're putting on. And the Supreme Court, the Roberts Court, gets to say, oh, look how pro-democracy and pro-reasonable legal decision we are by doing this. Look, we're upholding rule of law. We're issuing a decision that's clearly legally mandated, clearly the only answer here, and it's opposed to Trump. So yay for us. When the practical effect is basically nothing.
Well, I guess that's my question. I remember you tweeting about this, and yeah, Trump is fine, but didn't Deutsche Bank say, okay, that they would turn over other entities were subpoenaed as well? They said they would comply with the subpoenas now?
They did not say now. They will comply with whatever the courts rule. Guess what? This is not the end. It gets bounced back in both cases to the lower courts to consider again, which will then be appealed to the appellate courts, which will then be appealed to the Supreme Court, which will then, in all likelihood, at least in the Mazars case, less likely for Vance, be bumped down once again. So in no universe will any of these have a final ruling before the 2020 election.
So not a single goddamn patriot out there who will just leak his taxes already, because I so desperately want to know what's in there.
Like, I mean, the tax returns are a big deal too, but like, it's more, it's not, the reason I feel so depressed by all this is not just the tax returns. If we never got them, it's the fact that Trump has found a way to be above the law and to have the Supreme Court claim it's proof that he's not above the law. It's the most hypocritical Orwellian way of doing it, of having our highest court say, no, the president is not above the law by enacting a system that makes him, in practice, above the law.
Right. I saw, I think this week, that the White House said that I think his personal financial disclosure is supposed to be done this month, but they're like, oh, we need some more time.
It was supposed to be done a month ago.
We're not getting
actually.
That
it was originally due in May. It was due in May, and then they gave an extension because of the whole pandemic thing. And then they're like, "Oh, he's well, golfing. He's not meaning this anyway, so we're just going to extend it again." Again, he's just playing with us and seeing how far he can go with just breaking the law, and seeing what will happen. And usually, it's nothing. So,
all right. Anything else that we may have missed this week?
Yes, I want to point out again that Sessions lost his primary. Sometimes good things happen.
All right. Well, karma is, you know, we know what it is. But I am fearful of Alabama sending this idiotic coach also to D.C. So,
hey, look, if a Republican has to win, the fact Sessions lost the primary is still, it's still a moment to savor.
Got it. All right. All right. Well, Susan, enjoy the wilderness. You know, enjoy breathing clean air far away from the Orange Menace, and everybody out there, keep masking, stay away from each other, keep safe. Be back in 2 weeks. A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after
after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meethal Thelhan, and you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.